has in order to grab hold of the prize, if possible, since Christ Jesus has grabbed hold of me. Sisters and brothers, I don't think of myself as having reached the finish line. I give no thought to what lies behind, but I push on to what is ahead. My entire attention is on the finish line as I run toward the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We who are mature should adopt this attitude. And if you have a different opinion on any matter, God will make that clear to you as well. Just resolve to live up to what we have already attained. A word from our holy scriptures. Thanks be to God. If you are human, and I assume that you all are, then perhaps one of the most common experiences of being human is wanting things to change in our lives with as little sacrifice or suffering as possible. We are reluctant to put time and energy into the changes that we desire in our lives. So we sit with our longing for something new, hoping that someday there will be some magic that will happen, and voila, we are healthier and happier or more peaceful or richer or whatever it is you imagine will make life better and easier. And magic never happens. So we settle for what we have, not losing hope that someday things will change and we will be svelte and toned and spiritually mature and rich, grounded, happy travelers in this vast world. Well, maybe that's my dream. But we all have one. One we bury in the day-to-day travails and routines of simply living this life. During this season of Lent, we're talking about transformation. And though there are many areas in our lives where we might desire change, probably the most significant change we will ever make in our lives is a change spiritually. That is, grounding ourselves and centering ourselves. If we set out to work on spiritual goals, eventually we realize that either we don't need the other things we want, or they will come to us in another way as we grow towards spiritual maturity. When we move toward the peace, acceptance, and joy we desire in our lives, our perspectives change, and life starts to fall into place. Last week, I spoke of our longings and desires and how they determine what our goals are, which is what I'm talking about today, our goals. What most people long for is simply to live a good and happy life, to have healthy relationships, and to have a sense of purpose in our lives. That's what most of us want. And the interesting thing about these longings is that they can be filled no matter our external circumstances, if we can set our sights on God-shaped goals or inner transformation. The writer of Philippians writes that our goal is to know God and live our lives through Christ, following the way of Jesus, which is paradoxically, in his writings, the way of suffering. More specifically, death. It's not physical death he's talking about. It's the death of ego and pride so that we can take up the way of the cross, which is to give ourselves something to something greater than ourselves, and to just to trust that despite all appearances, God has got us and God has got the world, and just to take that leap of faith and to let go to God. I don't know about you, but I know that I have to suffer something or give up something in order to attain the goal of becoming more of who I am. To achieve what we truly need, we have to set our sights on the path ahead and sacrifice some of our old ways in order to attain something new. Somebody at DeWinton said to me this morning, you know, it's that old saying, don't look in the rearview mirror, that's not the way you're going. Life cannot and will not be the same if I desire something different for my life. This is the nature of transformation. It's not magic. It is sacrificing the old for the sake of something new, something better. The goal for a Christian is to become more like Jesus, which means giving up my way of thinking, my self-centeredness, my ego, my certainty, and live into the ways of grace and love and trust. Recognizing my worth and the worth of all people and settling down within myself to do the hard work of letting go. The only goal in life that is worth pursuing is God-shaped. You don't have to use the word God, but it is related to us becoming what we can be, to become the full selves we were meant to be. That means you never have to set a goal for New Year's, because this is the only goal we need to have for life. It is about inner transformation rather than outward change, and it will always make us better for ourselves, for others, and for the world. It never does any harm, these kinds of goals. In the end, it leads to greater peace, satisfaction, and joy. So it is about becoming grounded in God and seeing life from a place of serenity, wisdom, acceptance. A new mindset, Scripture tells us. The renewal of your mind. A new worldview. The big thing about it is that it allows us to see life as it is and accept it where it's at. So there's no need to change the world. Just ourselves. And from people coming from a great place of peace and groundedness, the world will change. We keep thinking things out there have to change in order for the world to be good. It's us. We have to change. The interesting thing about a God-shaped goal is that when we set our sights on it, it will take our whole lives to achieve it. It's a lifelong aspiration. It's the only goal we will ever have to make because we are always on the journey towards that one thing. Unlike other goals where we have specific outcomes and timelines to achieve it, this goal will carry us through the rest of our lives. As the writer of Philippians said, "Now that I think I have achieved the goal, but I continue to look ahead toward all that I want to be and set my sights only on this one thing, only on this one thing, to know God through Christ." Yet surprisingly, the very process of moving toward that goal brings tremendous satisfaction and joy, perhaps more than any other goal you will ever set in your life. It transforms us into the people we were always meant to be. The more we become who we were made to be, the more present we are to the reality of God and our true selves. We begin then to know love, to accept ourselves for everything we are, to let go of our past traumas and complicated histories. And then looking forward, we see only grace and love and goodness, no matter what life can throw at us. And here's the good news. Deep down, what we seek, we already have. However, this is where the suffering comes in. The journey itself is not to look forward to achieving what we seek, but to remove all the things that hinder us from realizing who we really are. The suffering is in taking away the blinders that the world has put on us in order to see that we are already beautiful, wanted, accepted, and loved by God. That this has always been the case, and we have lost sight of it. When we remove the layers of emotional and spiritual muck that has accrued in our lifetimes and that obscure who we are, that the world might have us believe, we will discover the beauty that we all contain, and we will be free. To get there sometimes, though, We have to suffer the long and painful process of stripping away those barriers to freedom, things that have been layered on us by culture, families, people who want to strip away our dignity, our sense of self-worth. We have accrued a lot of emotional and spiritual junk in our lifetime. And to remove it all can be very painful. We get very attached to our junk. I thought this week, oh, I'm a spiritual hoarder. Unwilling to let go of some beliefs or things that hold us back from recognizing how very beautiful and amazing we are. We have been told things that have damaged us, that have stripped away our sense of dignity and our sense of worth. And we believed these things. And when we believe them, we also do it to others. We tell others that they are not worthy. We show others by our actions that they are not important. When we have no dignity and sense of worth in ourselves, we do all kinds of things to make ourselves feel better. Here is the story we need to recover. We were made to live life in the spirit of wholeness and love and grace. We were born to be happy and joy-filled and good. And yes, there will always be trials and tragedies in life. And yes, our emotions will run the gamut of all that humans feel. That's natural. That's what humanity is about. All of this is unavoidable and often tests us to be faithful. Yet in each of us, there is something much, much deeper than any of us can see. Everything on earth will pass away except the goodness of God, which is in each one of us. Everything going on today in our lives and in the world is temporary. We forget that. All things will pass except the certainty that all is well and all shall be well. When we know this, deep in our souls, life can shake us up and we will remain strong and grounded and standing. The God-shaped goal that will take us on an extraordinary journey is the process of stripping away all that does not take us to this place of God-centered, life-affirming wholeness. That's the journey. It's not of adding things to our life, it's of taking away things. Life is fragile. All lives are short. Yet each journey should be beautiful and good. If we set our sights on becoming the Christ people we want to be, we will never attain it. That's the fun. It's the beauty of the journey. It's a lifelong adventure of discovery and of grace. And it is the most worthy goal in life. Becoming whole, grounded reflections of the Christ nature inherent in each one of us. It's a spectacularly amazing adventure. Perhaps this week, if you dare to sit down inside yourself and look within, you can just glimpse of this within you and realize that as God's beloved, you really are beautiful. You really are amazing. And if you don't believe that right now, which most of us don't, that's the work. To strip it right down to that. Till you know every single day, you are beautiful. So let's just take a moment right now. Take that glance within. And know that you are truly loved and treasured by God. And as we prepare to come to this table today, you come equal to every single person here. You receive the same. We all receive the same from God. That sense of our deep worthiness. And know that you come invited today, but every day, to God's table. Because God invites every one of us and we belong there. Let's just take a moment to reflect.